Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? And is your hair as bad as mine is right now?
I think we're both languishing in a terrible hair island of problems, I think. Yeah, it's because it's very early for me. I don't mind admitting I've not had a shower yet because it is 6 o'clock in the morning. So it's difficult to get. I'm not getting up at like quarter to six, Chris, for the Roger Bad podcast. I'll get up at 5 to 6 and then, you know, I'll have a shower afterwards. But I just feel like I'm letting everyone down with how I'm how my appearance is rocking. But I think you look pretty good. I'm very much enjoying this kind of pompadour kind of look at the front of your hair. I think you could get in the old double denim and be one of those greasers that you see in Yoyogi Park. You could have a little dance to some rock and roll. I think that'd look pretty cool.
There was a reason we never switched the podcast to having videos on until a year ago, and that's because I could look like crap and it'd be fine, right? You just wouldn't see it.
Now
you know how bad the rabbit hole goes, how awful my hair is. Birthday hair, nonetheless. Check this out, though. A good friend just came over from Japan, brought me Nando's Peri Peri sauce, for those of you on YouTube.
Oh, lovely.
Big bottle there. Brilliant. And those, I'll describe it for those of you that aren't watching on YouTube. It's a big bottle, and it's got Nando's Peri Peri written on it, and it's medium spice because I can't handle my spice, and it goes very well with chicken. And the second thing are these cola bottle sweets. It's called Cola Up, and they're cola bottle gummy sweets. And my friend bought these while he was here, and then he left them in the studio. And now I will polish them off like a dog who has been left hungry.
Dip
I will finish
them
the cola
in
bottles.
The sauce. Dip them in the sauce. Peri peri cola bottles. Come on, get involved. And what I like about Nando's is like, rich people go there. Like, rich, like, multi-million, billion-pound footballers go. And also me. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like a fancy place that only fancy people go to. Like, it's kind of... you'll never see, like, a footballer in McDonald's, necessarily. But maybe it's because, like, Nando's are quite healthy. There are a lot of healthy options because there's a lot of protein in there. But, yeah, I just think that it's so cool that, like, everyone goes to Nando's. Like, it's pretty good food. Everyone
is
goes
good,
to Nando's.
Yeah.
Chris, I'm gonna stick a... I did a quick screenshot while you were doing that intro. And I found that what I like doing is going on YouTube and just seeing your reviews, to be quite frank.
My reviews?
Because we were talking about reviews on the last one. And
we
there's some certain people who, like, will just clip anything that you or Connor does. If Connor does like a live stream, someone will be waiting with some kind of capture software, Bandicam, or something. And remember Bandicam? Like, it's what dads use to capture stuff on the internet. Bandicam. It's everywhere.
The 40s.
But they'll like capture like little clips and stuff, and then they'll put it up. And we've spoken about these guys before, and they're like they do little
clippers.
VOD clips and stuff. Yeah, little clippers, and they clip up, and presumably they make a bit of cash out of it. But I very much enjoyed this shot of you and Pete, Premier 2 Pete, on the road, finding out for the first time that you've just raised $1 million. And I'm going to put it onto the screen here. There we go. Yeah. It looks like you've been caught. It looks like you've been caught in like a sting.
It does a bit,
It looks like you've been caught embezzling money. $1 million? Really?
Because we're out the front of like a Lawson store.
Yeah.
It looks like we've been caught red-handed.
It's very enjoyable. Very much. Very enjoyable. I like because obviously when you do your screenshots and you do your artwork, it's obviously you spend a bit of time on it, but when somebody else reinterprets your work, it's usually dreadful.
It is.
$1 million? Oh, no.
So many things got clipped on that journey.
Yeah. You
know, every day there was like 500 clips. Me spraying children with the water cannon at Legoland. Me falling off the bike, much to Natsuki's delight. Yeah, lots of fun moments clipped on the cycle. Oh, man.
That's how I experience most of your content, Chris. I just sort of watch the little clips and go, yeah, they've got the good stuff. They've got Connor putting his mobile phone in a weird place. Yeah, that's all I need.
Don't watch the slick edited production. Watch the crappy clips.
Just the little bits and bobs,
instead. Yeah. Yeah, I don't envy Paul, our cameraman. He's currently editing that cycle. Can you imagine 14 days of footage to condense into like 90 minutes of fun? Don't envy him, but good luck to him. If anyone could do it, it's Paul. He's the man. He could do it. We've got a story this week from Zoe and Kale. Kale or Carly? Kale, isn't it? All right. G'day. Kale? It's Kale. G'day, Crocodile Chris and Prawn Pete. Here's a little recap of something we experienced on one of our recent trips to Japan. We were on this cozy train to the Dinosaur Museum in Fukui. Lovely old place. As we were sitting there, enjoying the sights, I could feel somebody staring at me. I've got this feeling like somebody... There, across from us, sat a little old lady just staring right at us. Just staring. And just as we were about to get off at our station, the lady grabs me by the shoulder, then opens my hands and places a wad of small lollipops into my palm. I was in complete shock whilst politely trying to nod my head and stumbling out an arigato. She just smiled, nodded, and walked away. When we looked at the lollipops, we realised that half of them were unwrapped. And more worryingly, my husband Dyke, oh God, couldn't work out if they were half sucked. It was such a hilarious and confusing moment for us. We stood there on the platform, just staring at each other with these puzzled looks on our faces. Were they just floating around in a handbag for 47 years? Did some of the packaging just disintegrate? Did she appreciate us visiting her beautiful town to the point she wanted to bestow upon us her odd collection of sweets? It was just another one of those random, odd experiences we've had on our travels to Japan. Kind regards, Zoe and Kale from Gold Coast. But did they eat them? Did you eat them, guys?
Yeah.
What a cliffhanger
That's the bit of the story we're not getting. We spoke about last week, pretty much every news story that comes in is like a side quest from a video game. I wouldn't continue on that side quest. I wouldn't 100% that game, sucking on a horrible lolly that's been in someone's bag.
I would have loved like a cheeky bit like, and then Kale just popped it in his mouth. And it tasted like Nando's Piri Piri sauce, and it raised more questions. Oh, that's
tastes like an old
horrible
lady's bag.
Actually disgusting. Don't know what was going on there. I was walking through Tokyo yesterday. I did a 20,000 step walk yesterday. Go me. My legs haven't recovered. Time to finish them off again. I did a 20,000 step walk, and I was walking from Yanaka Ginza, which is a retro, nice little street with lots of cats in it. And I was going all the way to Ueno, which has a zoo. And in the middle, I was walking through the cemetery, Yanaka Ginza Cemetery, which is actually really nice, you know. Last time I was there was for the documentary Cat Nation, where there were just cats. I was tasked with spending 2 hours looking through the cemetery for feral cats for the documentary. I don't know why I said yes to that documentary. Anyway, while walking, this Japanese guy just walked up to me. My friend was like, "Why are you here? What are you doing in the cemetery? Why would you come here?" And I was like, "Ah, it's just a nice stroll from Yanaka Ginza to Ueno." And he was like, "I just don't understand why foreigners would want to walk here." It's a nice stroll, isn't it?
William
it like,
Shatner.
It was really weird. Yeah, it was like I thought he was doing some genuine market research, but I think he was just a English fluent Japanese guy who wanted to ask why the foreigners were stumbling through a cemetery. A beautiful.
Why are you in the cemetery, big man? What are you asking people? Why are you in the cemetery? You're always here. I've only visited once. Why are you in the cemetery, son?
I mean, what was he expecting? Like, I've come here to dig up a grave, innit? Just going to dig up some graves and
I'm gonna,
put a little book
put
in there.
Some gravestones over, do a wee.
I've come here to distribute my books on, on in and around the cemetery. Like, what did it look like I was doing? Honestly,
I'm always in...
Strolling clearly, honestly.
I'm always in a cemetery and with my dog.
Of course.
One of my dogs, the little Baba, 1-year-old Border Terrier, will, if there's a puddle, he will sort of start drinking out of it. Because even though I give him like pure, crystal, beautiful water in his doggy bowl, he very much decides to, he just wants to drink the dirtiest puddle around. But it is sometimes on and in the graves. And you're like, body soup. Like, it's just absolutely so disrespectful. And he'll wee against gravestones.
No.
It's like, mate, come on, have some respect. No. But it is a nice... But then I always sort of think, yeah, it is disrespectful. But then also, there will be a lot of dog lovers in that graveyard. And if I was in a graveyard, I would like a dog to wee on my gravestone. I wouldn't care.
I'd have loved it. Why are you in the graveyard? I've come to lick the puddles. Puddles of
come
the...
to drink the corpse puddles.
I'd love to go back and find all these kind of stories there of these most bizarre encounters and just make a book like 101 bizarre encounters in Japan. You know,
pitch it.
I just wonder what the lady was thinking. I know what they want. I know what those two Australian foreigners need. They need a lollipop that's been half eaten in my purse for 52 years. Anyway, they were going to Fukui. They were going to the Dinosaur Fossil Museum. They got to eat some fossils. It swings around about 4D experience. News story. What's going on, though, this week in Japan, Mr. Dawson? Fill us in on the news of the week.
Mm. Yes. We spoke about the AI pin that helped you solve problems.
Humane pin.
By the YouTube guy, Marcus Brownlee. But can AI help solve Japan's labour shortages?
No.
Shrinking population, no one's fucking Nate, no babies arriving, which means that Japan has a shortage of workers now. Many are hoping that artificial intelligence can help pick up the slack. In a country that's known to be obsessed with perfection, damaged or misshapen vegetables and fruits are hard to sell. One gyo was a manufacturer named Osaka Osho, found a huge surge in demand during COVID, but struggled to keep the quality up. The idea of selling a damaged pack is unthinkable to the Japanese company. To help them maintain the quality whilst still keeping up with demand, they turned to technology using AI-powered cameras trained to detect any faulty gyoza on the production lines. To date, this facility makes 2 dumplings per second.
Whoa.
2 dumplings per second. Sorry, my stomach's rumbling. As soon as I started talking about misshapen gyoza, the misshapen gyoza that is my stomach started making a noise. This facility makes 2 dumplings every second. That's twice the speed of their other non-AI-based production sites. By implementing AI, says Keiko Handa, that we have reduced the manpower on the manufacturing line by almost 30%. The firm has also recently launched an AI-powered cooking robot called iRobo at one of its Tokyo restaurants. As it takes time to train the chefs, the company says the technology will help with the labour shortage issue. I guess, Chris, you've talked about like over-employment quite a few times, and there are like a lot of jobs where you sort of go, you don't need to do that. A light could do your job, sir, if you don't mind me saying. Like people who just sort of like alert people that a truck is coming out of a underground car park. You know what I mean? Those kind of guys with the lights on the sticks and stuff. You do sort of go, right, that could probably be done by a computer. So you do sort of think that maybe just that those guys with the sticks could just be moved onto the gyoza production line. I don't know.
One wonders. I still, I don't know. I mean, this is... that. AI used in computing, yeah, sure, that's a great use. I'm still not sold on, like, physical robots outside of, like, manufacturing things like cars and, like, on a mass scale. Whenever I see, like, a robot chef, I'm still like, nah, it's not there yet. It's not happening.
No,
it's not
happening. Don't want it. Don't want it.
I'm not convinced. Yeah. But...
Exactly, because you want your chef to be tasting stuff, don't you? You want your chef to be kind of like trying stuff to make sure it's okay.
I'm not convinced.
And the Gyoza AI solution, I mean, what does the Gyoza AI solution, when it sees a misshapen Gyoza, what does it do? Does it like attack it with a laser or something? I'm worried that there'll be a person who looks so much, who's got a disfigured face, who look more like a Gyoza, and he'll be attacked by the AI Gyoza identifying drones. I'm worried. I'm worried, Chris.
It's a genuine, the whole shrinking workforce scenario, though, is a genuine problem. You know, I can't believe the current population is 124 million. When I first came here, I think it was 128 million, so it's dropping quite quickly. And you certainly notice, convenience stores and things, that most convenience stores and Tokyo now, or in big cities, are run and sort of operated by foreign workers, mainly from Southeast Asia, actually.
Yeah.
There's been some big changes. And, I do think Japan needs to be better at self-checkouts. Like, I feel like we've adopted that in the UK in a way that's a lot more effective and efficient than they have here. I don't know why self-checkouts aren't as widespread here.
It was, speaking of self-checkouts, I was using a self-checkout in a shop in a Tesco's near my place, and the security guard kept looking at me, and I was like, oh, can't do any shopping.
Because he looked like Colonel Sanders. Of course he was looking at you. Obviously, I thought he was dead.
That guy's buying chicken.
I thought he died in the 80s.
Yeah, the security guard was looking at me while I was in the shop, and I was like, what have I done? What have I done? I've not done anything. I'm not stealing. This time, but it was a person called Yuki who listens to the show. I think listens or maybe watches your stuff. We had a lovely conversation. But it just made me laugh that it was like, I thought you were following me around the shop because I was stealing. I was stealing. I wasn't stealing.
Ali, let you off.
let me off. Come on, give me some free petrol. I need some Daddy needs petrol. I've got a V12. It's very expensive. That was quite funny.
To be fair, your Toyota probably goes through more petrol than a V8
correct.
Engine.
Correct. I would say that. On that same day as well, when I met Yuki, before I was in a cafe in a park, and this lad sort of said, "Oh, you Pete." He was like working behind the bar in this cafe, and he said, "You Pete," and I said, "Yeah." I said hello, and then I left, and then Sarah said right after, completely unrelated to me meeting him, he'd fainted. I was Sarah, am I the Beatles? Am I Elvis Presley?
You made somebody funny.
Unrelated to meeting me, but I think it was a hot day. But it just made me laugh. I was like, Sarah, am I the Beatles? Because the thing about Sarah is, like, Sarah's got, like, I had a radio job, and Sarah has a radio job, and so everybody wants to hear about Sarah's job, and nobody wants to hear about mine. I used to have the same job as Sarah. No one's to talk to me about my job. But on moments like that, when I technically make a person faint, I think that's
unfair. Didn't make anyone faint. Don't get ahead of yourself. Making people
faint. I'm the Beatles. I'm the Beatles, mate.
The barometer for success. How many people have fainted at my presence? I mean, after the cemetery run-in with the man who was perplexed by my presence in the cemetery, I ran into a lovely North American couple. And they looked a bit... They were like, Chris, is that you, Chris? I was like, yeah. And they, like, froze and, like, just looked like they'd been hit by a truck. And it's like... it's amazing. People approach you, and then when you say hello, they sort of freeze up and panic.
Yeah, okay.
It's like, don't worry. I'm not going to eat you. Not yet, anyway.
You weren't
there were cameras there. But, but, yeah, I worry about these Gyoza Inspector AI robots. What if they become sentient? And they see us all as misshapen Gyoza. Will they come for us? Will they take us away? Yeah. Why discard us?
I mean, there must be someone in the world who looks more like gyoza than anyone else. You know what I mean? It's like someone said, like, there must be someone in the world who's eaten more crisps than anyone else. Like, there has to be.
I just polished off a whole packet of kettle chips. I'm first in line for that.
Someone's eaten more crisps than anyone else. Someone's eaten more chips than everyone else in the world. There must be someone who's done that. So you sort of think, well, there must be one person who looks like a gyoza. More than anyone else.
I want to meet them. I want to find them.
Yeah. Lovely yellow skin.
Bloody hell. We'll be back in just a moment, guys. How do we get away from that? No. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments, and questions over in the fax machine.
Wow.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. In our daily lives, we all carry around with us different stressors. They can be big, they can be small, and sometimes we might not even realize that we're carrying them around with us. But if these feelings stay bottled up, they can start to affect us negatively, which is why having a positive outlet for discussion can be such a valuable tool for your well-being. Therapy can be a perfect outlet for your inner stressors. It's a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Sometimes just speaking things out into the open can be such a great release of inner tension, so you can spend less time stressing about the issue and more time figuring out how you can overcome it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
Are you a gyoza man? Get in touch. Dear Colourful Chris and Pastel Pete, this is Nick from sunny San Diego. Excuse me. I recently returned from my first solo trip to Japan, and while the trip was amazing, there was one issue. My anxiety was through the roof. I've never been an anxious person before, so this was very surprising to me. Seeing as the reason for my trip was that I wanted to eventually teach English in Japan, what has been your experience dealing with anxiety like this? I know of you have mentioned being terrified when you first moved to Japan, but you never went into much detail. All the best, Nick from sunny San Diego. Chris, anxiety tips? Any kind of ways to alleviate any stresses and strains?
Well, it's a tough thing, really. I mean, I find I mostly got over anxiety, and yet just before the cyclothon, I started feeling really anxious. I had quite a few like panic attacky moments that are a bit scary, and I haven't had that in years. And I was trying to wonder, like, why am I having it now? And it was staring me in the face. It was like, oh yeah, I'm going to cycle for 2 weeks across Japan in front of 30,000 people. Of course, I'm a bit nervous. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to give out professional advice to folks dealing with anxiety. I will say, if you can get help from a professional, something I never did in Japan because I just don't think they really know how to deal with anxiety over here. Like, I remember a friend of a friend was like having depression, and they went to the doctor, and the doctor was like, "You should be more happy." And it's like, "Oh, cured! Cool. Yes, the problem is solved. Thank goodness." So Japan's not great for it. I mean, I always maintain that finding Stoic philosophy always helped me, and yes, Stoic philosophy really did help me. I should make a video on it. I haven't done it much. The first rule of Stoicism is you don't really talk about it much because you're not there to preach about it. It's something you just process and you deal with it and you find ways to fit it into your life. And it's not like a religion. And that's why Stoicism died out 2,000 years ago, because all the people that learned it, Marcus Aurelius, right, Epictetus, Seneca, all these famous, incredible people, just sort of kept it to themselves because you don't preach about it. And Christianity swept in and buried it all. And, it's unfortunate. We really should preach about it more. Maybe I'll make a video. But, get professional help. Try and just remember that anxiety is worrying about things 90% of the time that don't happen. I say 99% of the time. I was the last time I was really anxious was at the end of the cycle, going up the hill to the crowd of waiting people, 400 people. I was quite nervous. And I don't even know what I was nervous about. People, you know, Connor and people like, what are you nervous about? No. I'm like, I don't know. That's the thing, right? Maybe I was nervous about walking up the hill, this big moment of victory, 60,000 people watching online, 300 people there waiting, and me just going, yeah, then falling over and smashing into the ground. Right. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. I don't know what there is. It's worrying about things that don't happen, and it went perfectly well. So just remember that. That's the secret. But we got one here from Connor, who says, "I'm not Sea Dog VA." Very good. "I didn't know there was more than one person with the name Connor in the world. Dear Chris and Pete, I'll be visiting family in Okinawa in 2024, and I'm excited to return as I haven't been back to Japan since my first trip in 2007. My question is, have either of you eaten any traditional Okinawan cuisine, and if so, which dishes are your favourite? Thank you for continuing to make the podcast. All the best, Connor." Again, not Sea Dog VA from California. Okinawan food is bloody good. Have you had any? Have you had like the pork feet? What? The nafte?
What? I always get like Okinawa mixed up with Hawaii a bit. You sort of go, oh, it's a lot of mango.
They're definitely similar.
There's a lot of delicious fruit. Fruit and
climate,
rice.
Yeah, the climate, the laid back people. Yeah, but no, Okinawan food is really good. Nafte is one of my favourites. It's like boiled pig feet, which does sound fucked up, but it's actually quite good. And it's not as feet heavy as you'd think it would look. I don't know.
Not as trotter heavy, right, in the sole. Right, okay.
It's not as there's also the Okinawa soba, Okinawa style ramen. It's pretty good. There's snake sake, which you don't need to try. Okay. It's disgusting. Yeah, no.
Didn't you get given some from Chucky's dad?
I did,
wasn't that, yeah?
No, horrible. It's supposed to be an aphrodisiac, and it's not, it's just shit. And Spam is popular in Okinawa.
Spam! Oh, fantastic. Yeah, but we think Spam is one thing, but the way that they make their Spam is just delicious. Really,
it's good
stuff.
It's good. I need to go back to Okinawa, really. I'm trying to convince various friends and people to come with me to Okinawa, and for some reason, nobody's like, yes. They're just like, yeah, it could do. No, come on, let's go. It's like fucking paradise on earth. Why is it? But to be fair, from June to sort of August, don't go to Okinawa. It's going to be like a sauna. Joke.
Unless you sit in the sea all day. You just get up and you just crawl into the sea, like returning to the sea.
Exactly. Kind of. Although, Jackie, when I was there last time, I remember we were on that yacht It was like we rented a yacht and we sailed around. Really cool time. No wonder I want to go back. And I remember there was a moment in the video where I talked to Jackie. I'm like, there's no sharks in Okinawa, right, Jackie? Because the guy running the yacht was like, yeah, don't worry, no sharks. And Jackie was like, no sharks, no. But my cousin had their arm ripped off by a shark. And I was like, what? It was like the story out of nowhere. This terrible, terrible story popped up.
If you're going to get your arm ripped off, it's got to be up there as the best one, though, isn't it?
You know what I mean?
Like, if you're gonna lose your arm, because I'd lose it in like a vending machine or something. But like, I think getting it ripped off by a shark, like, it's not great. Whatever happens, but it's better than getting caught in machinery or getting it run over or just losing it because you've had too much crocodile.
Yeah, yeah, and a lucky escape as well. If that does happen, you manage to get away, God forbid, from the shark.
Yeah.
And then we went into the sea after hearing that story, and I was a little bit like, and in Okinawa, unlike the sea in the UK where it's just opaque, it's just like a muddy swamp of shit. And it is literally shit now, from what I understand, in the UK, because all the sewage companies are pumping into the sea. Awful. In Okinawa, the sea is transparent, and you can see, like, half a kilometre into the distance, which is both awesome, but also a little bit frightening. It's something, it's a little bit like, oh, I can see the shark coming towards me, or the giant kraken or something. I don't know. It was a bit psychologically terrifying.
This place has famously been is pretty unmapped. Anything could be in here. It's like returning to, like, caveman times, isn't it? They're going, oh, someone's going to eat me. Something's going to eat me.
There you go, Connor. But just be careful.
Yeah.
Eat your way through Okinawa, but don't be eaten by Okinawa, whether it's a snake or a shark. And finally, Mawia from Mauritania. Is it pronounced Mauritania? Mauritania. Currently living in Malaysia.
Mauritania, yeah.
Hello, Cold War Chris and Pearl Harbor Pete. My question is, are conspiracy theories widely believed in Japan, or do people trust information from news outlets or people in authority? Keep up the good work. Mawia from Mauritania. That's a good question, actually. There are, that people here do believe in conspiracy theories quite a bit, actually. But then some of them are grounded in reality. It didn't help that recent one, you know, with when Shinzo Abe, the former prime minister, was assassinated.
Yeah.
It was because of this. The guy that did it was because his mum had given money to a cult and a really shady organisation that he claimed had infiltrated every level of Japanese political society. And it actually had. It was like a conspiracy theory that was real. And I think that only added fuel to the fire. But people do trust the media here. I wonder to what degree, compared to, say, the UK, US, where everything's very polarised right now. I wonder. There's no doubt freedom of speech in Japan has gone down in the last decade, though, ever since the aforementioned Shinzo Abe replaced NHK, the guy that oversaw it, with one of his friends who very much, like, ripped away NHK's sort of credibility. A bit like the BBC, on steroids. And, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. But that's a good question. Honestly, I don't know. I would say it's just not to the degree of the UK or US, where we're very distrustful unless we hear something we want to hear these days.
And maybe over in America and the UK, I mean, I guess you can sort of monetize conspiracy theories more easily. And perhaps in Japan, that's not really the culture. And that guy only a couple of days ago committed suicide, self immolating basically outside the Trump trial.
That was an interesting,
very interesting sort of character. He did a podcast about Laura Dern from Jurassic Park.
That's very special.
That was like 40 episodes or something. Like,
Laura Dern?
Fascinating. Yeah, just a weird subject for a podcast. But he was a very online chap who was obsessed with, like, The Simpsons and stuff. It's the sort of bloke you'd sort of see in, like, Brooklyn. And it's sort of so rare to sort of see such extreme acts from kind of people who I suppose who are that online and are that kind of like seemingly comedically kind of tainted, I suppose. I don't know a huge amount about the story.
I found it
fascinating. It was a very interesting how that man was completely radicalized by the right, and to the point where these kind of like when these kind of political, either pro Trump or anti Trump stuff these guys sort of appear with their manifestos. Like, it's the rabbit hole's gone so much further than even, you know, your common or garden dyed-in-the-wool kind of like underground pedo tunnel kind of conspiracy theorist guys would go. And it's almost like become its own language, I suppose. It's very, very strange. It's a weird space to be in, and just people have got... I hate people who sort of say, you've got too much free time. Most people have too much free time. I don't have time to talk about New World Orders. I've got to do work. I've got to edit podcasts, I'm afraid.
So, I want to hear Pete Donaldson's New World Order coming soon to YouTube. Yeah. Pete rambling about his dog food problems, going to the cemetery, New World Order.
It's not fucking anti-Semitic, up. But it is anti-dog food, all right?
God. Man, I don't know. Yeah, but it's an interesting topic, though. I really should dig a bit deeper into it all in Japan, anyway, how they perceive it. But it's a topic for one of those YouTube channels where they go up to people in the street and ask them questions about things. Something I've yet to do. I'm not worthy.
Those guys who just sort of stop picking the hell are you in Japan, man?
Do you like foreigners? Why do you like foreigners?
How you find the babes? Get out of my face. Get out. There's a wonderful... you know those guys who like stop people in the streets of like New York and go, hey, man, what do you do for work? You know, like those kind of like people on the streets. And there was this British bloke and he's walking down the street. And I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, but the guy goes, hey, man, like he just pushes the camera in his face. He goes, hey, man, what are you doing today? And he's like, and he just got his reaction is, I'm going to smash you in the face. He goes, fuck, I'm going to eat you. He just completely out of nowhere. It's so British. It's so wonderfully London. And to be fair, he does apologise afterwards, but it was a very British kind of response. Get the fuck out of my face.
God, I won't be. I don't even know what you call that kind of YouTuber. Boy, you do
dickhead.
That.
Dickhead. Just a dickhead YouTuber.
The dickhead YouTubers.
Those guys who like stand outside for spring break, who just stand outside, just talking to girls, just going, "Where are you making a guy? Are you a 10?" And the thing, all men should be 6'5", and it's just all, oh god, everyone looks like herpes.
Your talents are wasted. You should be out there doing justice.
Hey man, what do you look for in the car? No, you're the worst.
Donaldson's New World Order, coming soon to YouTube. Yeah. Check it out. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming out to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. I forgot it there for a moment, but I remembered at the final second. And also, let us know in the YouTube comments below. Also, did you hear at the end of the last episode, Pete, not the one we just recorded, the one before,
right?
In the closing credits, there's a weird sound, and all the comments are about it. What the fuck is it?
It's... Is it on Nam Shiva that they say in Indiana Jones? I don't know what it is.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah, I don't know. I think when we stop talking, we'll sort of say, you know, goodbye, or I'll do a little mumble, or you'll do a little mumble. But I think sometimes the computer interprets it as something else. I don't know. It was
mystery.
It was a ghost in the machine, Chris. Ghost in the machine.
Ghost in the Abroad Japan theme tune. But for now, guys, have yourself a great few days. Check out the theme tune, see if the ghost in the machine is still there. And we'll see you later in the week to do it over again, right back here on the Abroad Japan podcast. Bye for now. Have a good one.
What do you look for in this too?
Oh, no. Sausages.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it? to the Premier League.
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.